Hallelujah. And I've decided even throughout the year, I'm going to keep you abreast of how God is continuing to bless the church and so on and so forth. We got some big stuff coming up, you all. I'll be sharing with you all here in the weeks to come. But God's doing a tremendous, tremendous work with regard to our church and plans and vision. Amen? Amen. So I'll be sharing those things with you. Honey, you can just bless
Hallelujah.
Us.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for all that you give us and what you provide for us. We
yes,
thank
God.
You for the kingdom economy, an economy that does not ever run dry. There's
right.
more than enough,
That's
overflowing.
Right.
And Father, we thank you. We cheerfully sow into your kingdom this morning. And we thank you for the return. We bless it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Rick. Text to give is right there on the screens if you want to text to give. Church, I know there's probably some lost people out here today. I believe Holy Spirit will do what Holy Spirit does, and He will compel them to come to Him. Amen. I truly believe that in my heart. But if you would, can somebody just shout hallelujah? I just believe, yeah, hallelujah is the highest praise. Amen. Amen. I don't know, but that sounded real good to me. Somebody shout hallelujah again. Yeah. Praise be unto God. Amen. You all ready for the word today? Y'all ready for the word? I'm going to close out this series on motive today. Motive. We're going to close out the series today. I love the garb there, Mary Boyd. I love it. You must have seen Black Panther. Huh? Y'all can tell I did, right? Y'all can tell I done seen it twice already. My goodness. Saw it in Hawaii. Came back home and saw it again. You look good though, Mary. God bless you. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark 10. Mark 10. I want to start in 42B. 42B. Mark 10, 42B. It says, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Before you're seated in this wonderful church, I need you to touch at least five people and ask them, are you motivated to serve? Are you motivated to serve? I said five. Some of y'all just sat on down. Five people, not two and a half and or three, but are you motivated to serve? Motivated to serve? Many of you know I shared via video last Sunday. I shared via video. I had the incredible opportunity to go to Hawaii last week, and this trip was specifically and intentionally on behalf and for my father. Simple as that. It was just my son, my oldest son, Brandon, who's 28, as well as myself and my father. And I want to start this series as such. I actually got a few photos I want to show you, so you can go with that first photo right there, and you can all see us right there kicking it, and my oldest son and Pops right there in the middle. It just don't get no better than that, y'all. Pops chilling with the shades on and got his Hawaiian shirt on. That we were actually about to go to the luau at that time. But just, I'm showing you these things for a couple of reasons, because I'm a servant, as is my son. And we wanted to serve my father. We wanted to serve him. My son came to me about a year and a half ago and said, hey, I was talking to Papa. And he talked about he wants to go to Hawaii because he's got a first cousin who was on the USS Arizona when it went down, when the Japs hit it at Pearl Harbor. 2,000, I believe, plus men on that ship died that day. Well, my father's first cousin was one of those persons. He's on the wall at Pearl Harbor. Keep going to that next picture there, and you all see that's actually the ship. That's me and my dad actually looking at a piece of the ship. That's the memorial there at Pearl Harbor. Take it to the next slide, and then you'll see the slide that's got the names on it. The slide that's got the names on it, if you can go to that, if you see that slide. There's a slide that has some names on it, and his name is on that slide. His name is H.L. Patterson. H.L. Patterson was one of, I think he was a first Army first class sergeant who died on that particular ship. If you don't have it or can pop it up at a later time, please do so. But on this trip, you all, I got a video that I want to show you here as I start. Is there any sound with that video? Is there some sound with that? Okay, let's kind of go with the video. Okay, pause this real quick. Say servant. Let's kind of turn to the side because I did it on my phone. Say servant. My oldest son, he's a servant, and he's probably in church right now, so he probably won't see this live, but maybe he'll go back to it here in a few, because I'm about to throw him under the bus. Yeah, you can do that with your own son, amen? So say servant. My son is a servant, and so what he decided to do is he wanted to take me and my dad on this little sightseeing trip on the island. And so he wanted to rent a car and then take us on this trip, and so he did the whole rental thing, and then he showed up at the hotel with the car. Well, mind you, it had just rained. Doesn't rain often in Hawaii, but it had just rained previously, so it was a little damp and a little cool. So as he pulls up, I notice he's got a Wrangler Jeep. Wrangler Jeep. Wrangler Jeep. It just rained. Wrangler Jeep. He just so happened that the guy he rented it from, he did this rental thing like Uber and all this other stuff. The Jeep didn't have any windows on it. No windows on either side, front and back. And so he pulls up, and I'm like, son, what you got here? Well, I said, where are the windows? He said, the guy didn't have any windows. What do you mean he didn't have any windows? It just rained, son. It's a little chilly out. So we decide to go ahead and do it anyway. I get in the back. My dad gets in the front. I tell my son, I said, listen, son, it just rained. If it rains again, you're going to have to pull this thing over because I'm not riding in no rain. Play the video right quick. Play the video. So as you all can see, it's a little sideways, but y'all can see it begins to rain. It begins to pour inside the Jeep. And so my dad and I are getting drenched in Hawaii. Not only is it pouring, but if you know about a Wrangler, it's got a top that folds on the top, and there's an open seal in the front, and water is pouring in on my father's legs and on my son's hands. I was so heated. I'm so glad y'all can't see my face, y'all. I was so mad. I started texting my wife. I said, babe, can you believe I'm on the island? I'm getting soaking wet. I'm in the middle of the car in the back seat. And I'm like, son, you should have thought this house before we started going here. I know you a servant. I know you want to bless us, and I know you want to serve. But it goes with my first big word for the day. Somebody say, foresight. Before you serve, you got to have foresight. You got to have first for you got to know what you're headed to. Somebody help me in this place. Son, you didn't read the weather report. You didn't know it was going to be cold. You didn't know that after the rain come down and you driving by the ocean, it's now chilly out here. My father took it like a champ, y'all. He didn't fuss at Brandon. I was in the back. I was ready to just knock that joke in the back of his head as he was driving. Say, I love you, son, but you didn't have any foresight on this thing. It's one of the things that I want to talk about today here briefly. Philippians 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of? That was a little tired. That at the name of? Yeah, every knee would bow, those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want to go back to verse 7 because it says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and come. Jesus wasn't worried about popularity. He wasn't worried about being popular. Taking the form of a bondservant. He made himself of no reputation. Yeah. I'm not interested in being popular, Jesus said. Yeah. I'm not interested in everybody necessarily knowing who I am. I'm going to allow my works to speak for themselves. Oh, we live in a society today where it's all about popularity. It's all about what your hashtag is or what your Facebook is or how many followers you got or how many Instagram likes you got. Our world has become a popularity contest. It's not about being popular. It's about being a servant. I had Marvin and Etna up here talking about these sororities and fraternities because I can say unequivocally, I'm not a part of a fraternity or sorority, but I can say unequivocally, this is not about who's better, who's best. This is about serving. This is about being a blessing to the kingdom of God. This isn't about a popularity contest, but somebody say intentional. Jesus was intentional in making himself of no reputation, and watch this, and coming in the likeness of men, which literally means that no matter what God does in your life, hear me, stay normal. Look at the person next to you and say, stay normal. Yeah, stay normal. What do I mean? Because let me talk to five of you who God has done some amazing stuff in your life. There's some folk out there that God has just blown you away with some stuff. But do me a favor. Stay normal, though. Stay you. Don't all of a sudden, don't get into this celebrity thing. Don't get into feeling yourself and smelling yourself, as your grandma would say, right? Don't get into thinking you better than everybody. I know you got a doctorate, but everybody's not dumb around you just because you got this level of education. Come on, somebody. I know you're the boss, but do you got to tell everybody every day that you're the boss? Can you please stay normal? I know you're the head of the household, but can you not come ranting and raving in the house every day talking about I'm the man of the house? I'm stepping on somebody's toes right now. You ain't got to do. Somebody say stay normal. Stay normal. Please don't get to acting up and starting to think that you all this and all of that. Tell our leadership all the time, I don't care if you do praise and worship. I don't care if you're an usher. I don't care if you're on the First Touch ministry. I don't care what you do. And don't you dare act like you better than somebody else. You be the best servant in the building. My wife and I will continue to serve what I do. I'm the chief servant in the house, bottom line. I'm the chief servant. I'm a hug. I'm a love. I'm going to do whatever God needs me to do, but I'm going to remain normal. Yeah, that's why you can't let everybody do everything for you, because it'll mess you up. All of a sudden, you'll start expecting people to do, am I talking to anybody right now? You'll start expecting people to do stuff for you that you can do for yourself. Yeah, I know you are a king and a queen in the earth. But there's some stuff that you got to be intentional about, or you start filling yourself. Ooh, man, I can go further, but I want to get to some other scripture. Mark 7, verse 31. Say foresight. Jesus left Tyre and Sidon and went up to Sidon before going back to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the 10 towns. A deaf man with a speech impediment was brought to him, and people begged Jesus to lay his hands on the man to heal him. Jesus led him away from the crowd. So that's powerful within itself, you all. Yeah. Jesus, somebody say away. Away. This is Jesus. He led the man who had a speech impediment, and he was deaf. He led him away from the crowd. Jesus often was very intentional on not being, watch this, a sideshow. He was very intentional on not being a sideshow, watch this, so that people would not just get caught up in the works. So it wouldn't just always be about miracles. So people would literally fall in love with him as Jesus rather than simply the miracles. It says he put his fingers into the man's ears, then spitting on his own fingers, NLT version, he touched the man's tongue. But looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, which means be open. Instantly the man could hear perfectly and his tongue was free, so he could speak plainly. Somebody say hallelujah to that. Jesus told the crowd, don't tell nobody. Are y'all with me? Do y'all understand how off the hook that is? This man, Jesus just performed a miracle of this deaf man who had an impediment with speech. First of all, Jesus did every miracle Jesus did, he did it differently. Yeah. And I've just put on the fact that I believe that Jesus did every miracle differently because he could. Because he didn't have to get caught up in repetition. Because he was Jesus. He didn't have to do it the same way. He could do it any kind of way. So he decided in this particular matter to put his fingers in the ears and to spit on his hand and then put his hand on the man's tongue. And then the man, all of a sudden, he can hear and he can speak plainly. And all of a sudden, Jesus had drawn him away from the crowd. So the crowd's here. Jesus can do it in front of everybody. But he decided to draw him away from the crowd.
There's some things that you'll speak over people's lives, or there's some information that you'll tell them that you don't want to crowd around. There's some stuff that you shouldn't be putting on Facebook. I can tell, don't put a prophetic word for me on Facebook. That word ain't for everybody. I don't want everybody hearing my word from, ooh, man, that's good, everybody. Bottom line is that sometimes you put too much out. Lean on somebody and say, I don't want to know all your business. My goodness, I don't want to know all your, I don't want to know everything about you. What happened to privacy? What happened to a point in time where what happened in your household stayed in your household? Why you on Facebook talking about she tripping? I can't believe she acting like this. Don't nobody want to know what's happening in your household, man. What y'all think I should do? What I think you should do is log out. Log out of Facebook and go in there to your wife and say, baby, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said what I... Am I helping anybody in this place this morning? Single women out there, what y'all think? What y'all think? Should I go back out with him? What I think is that you should log out. And if you're a lover of Jesus, I think you should pray before you go on the next date with that knucklehead. Now, he done dated 5 of your friends. Why you going out with him? You know he ain't no good. Why you got to ask 6 people on Facebook? What y'all? I get so tired of hearing all of that. Yeah, there's a time to ask people to pray for you. I don't have a problem with that. But what happened to the intimacy of prayer? Oh, man. I'm convinced that there are many people, and I want to help you here this morning. There are many people who don't have a prayer circle. Yeah. What am I? I'm talking about that prayer circle that there's some things that you only tell a few people. Yeah. The only people that's getting this particular email and or phone call, I'm going to send this to Pops Anderson. I'm going to send this to Marquita. I'm going to send this to Pam. And I'm going to send this to Ronnie. They the only one that's getting it. I'm going to say, listen, I need you to touch and agree on this particular issue that's happening in my life. That's it. And then I don't have to put it at the bottom, P.S., don't tell nobody. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because if I got to put that, then I might as well delete the email because I done told the wrong folk. Why you got all those blabbermouth friends anyway? Oh, man, I'm going somewhere I shouldn't be going. Is this all right, everybody? Man. Don't tell nobody, Jesus said, but the more they spread the news. There's sometimes, Wes, that what God does in your life is like a Jeremiah experience. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's like fire. Some of y'all can't sit on what God has done. Maybe it's just 5 or 6 of you in the building today. But has God ever done something in your life that you can't sit on? That you can't help but tell at least 5 or 6 people, man, I thought I wasn't going to tell nobody, but my God, God is good, y'all. I got to tell. It's like, shut up. I got to tell at least 18 to 20 people. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I can't help but tell God about how good he is. I can't help but tell about the favor. I can't help but tell how he healed me, restored me. I can't help to tell you that they had. I had an exam on the breast exam, and it came back, and they told me I had cancer. But when I went back, all of a sudden the doctor said he couldn't see what he. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm speaking over somebody's life. They said I had prostate, but when I went back to the doctor, yeah, everything was clean. Everything was clear. They said I was dealing with depression, anxiety, mental. Mm-mm. There's some stuff you can't sit on. Yeah, yeah. That ain't everything, though. Yeah, there's some stuff you can't sit on. More people need to know about your testimony than you think. Yeah, your testimony can inspire more people than you think. So many people say, oh, man, my testimony is small. Are you serious? If God has redeemed you, restored you, replenished you, he has recaptured and he has reclaimed your life, that's powerful, somebody. Amen, everybody. Amen. Let me keep going. Mark 10, verse 35. It says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. Jesus said, what's your request? They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor. next to you. Can y'all just see these boys, James and John? We want to sit on places of honor. One on your right, and then my man over there on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Yeah. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized? Write this down. Suffering is serving for the cause. Yeah, yeah. Suffering. Yeah. So many of you serve in different capacities, be it in the ministry or be it in life. You've got to be okay with not being highlighted. Yeah, yeah. If you got to be highlighted, you're not serving for the right reasons. Well, ain't nobody said nothing about what I'm doing, and I'm doing all this, and ain't nobody congratulating me, and ain't nobody giving me my just due, and don't they know all the work and all the stuff I'm putting in, and I'm tired, and I'm working my fingers to the bone, and ain't nobody paying me no money, and ain't nobody saying nothing. I'm about to forget it. I ain't trying to serve. You know, I'm a humble servant of God. How you a humble servant of God, but all you worried about is that you being recognized for what you do. If you're motivated to serve, it don't matter. If nobody ever says nothing to you about what you do, you say, oh, glory and praise be to God. I don't need a crowd around. I don't need nobody to pat me on my back. I don't need nobody to say, thank you, you did a good job. I tell our worship team all the time, listen, I don't care what songs we sing. You go out there and sing and you do an amazing job. Listen, God will put you in a position. Okay, I know I'm preaching now. God will put you in a position oftentimes where you do a great thing as far as servanthood is concerned, and nobody will tell you how good it was. You'll sing a song, and nobody will tell you, girl, you sang that song. Boy, you know you lit that song up. You'll serve in whatever capacity of life you serve in, and nobody will say thank you. Let me tell you, God is intentional on that. Yeah. Sometimes God will put you in a season where he'll shut everybody's mouth around you. He'll put you in a season. He'll shut everybody's mouth around you so that he can see why you're really doing it. Yeah, yeah. It's not that people aren't thankful. It's not that people don't see what you're doing, because they do. But some people in here, God's got you in a season of hush. Yeah. Some of you all, you're literally considering quitting what you're doing. You're serving. Yo, you're not getting paid. But you're like, man, I'm so sick of doing this. Ain't nobody thanking me for doing nothing. I would think and I would hope the heartbeat of this church is servanthood. I would hope. I would hope and I would pray that anytime we need anybody to serve in any capacity in church, we should be lined up. We should be lined up, set up, tear down. This is temporary. Y'all know we don't own the school. We rent the school. It's temporary. The door's going to close, no question. We'll do that, and God will bless us and all that. And there's a whole bunch of stuff happening now that I can't even share with y'all, but I'll share it in the weeks to come. But the bottom line is, in the temporary, we need help. And if we need help, we should be lined up. It's kingdom. It's kingdom. Is that all right, everybody? Suffering is serving for the cause. Number two, identity. Write that down. Identity. What does that mean? That means that when you are suffering, all that's doing is making you more like Jesus. A few of you are going through some things right now. You feel like you're suffering. All it is just identifying you. That's all. You're just being identified to be more like Jesus. They said in verse 39, oh, yes, we're able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. Watch this. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. Can y'all see that? Can y'all see that? The 10 others like, man, I can't believe. How in the world are y'all going to ask Jesus, can you sit on the right and your boy on the left? Now, some of them were looking at James and John and said, dog, I was just about to ask him that too. Come on now. These are just regular old men, you all. This is different time, but they're regular old men as far as the way they thought. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, And officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you will be different. Ooh, that's so good. Yeah. Yeah, I know the world is a world where those who are in power flaunt their power. Yeah, I know we live in that world. I know that the boss always tells you the boss in the world. Yeah. I know the husband who doesn't have the capacity of confidence always is walking around the house telling everybody who he is. Yeah. You got to tell everybody who you are because you're not sure who you are. That's the only reason a man especially has to say, I'm the boss around here. I make the rules around here. I make the money around here. Because you don't have a true capacity of who you are. So you've got to remind yourself and or you've got to stick that thing on somebody else. That's done out of fear and intimidation. That's not of God. Whew. Is that all right, everybody? That thing is festered out of witchcraft, control. That's like idol worship. If I've got to make you fearful of me, that's not of God. And if it's not of God, it's of the devil. Nobody in this church should be scared of the pastor. If you're at a church where you're scared of the pastor, you've got to evaluate the atmosphere of that lifeline. I'm not saying your pastor won't function in some level of authority, and I understand priesthood. I get all of that, but to be scared as a wife in your own household, and/or to be scared as a man. Y'all know where I'm going now. So some of these women is off the chain now. I've had counseling on both ends. Pastor, she about knocking me over the head. Okay, man, let me get back to the word. Yeah. It shall not be among you. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. That's good, everybody. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to do what? And to give his life as what? It's in a man's nature to be served. Yeah. Regardless of what you say, you would rather be served than serve. Yeah. Well, I'm getting in somebody's kitchen right now. It's in your nature to want to be served. Let me bring you all into my life just a little bit. Here it is. You know, we're flying to Hawaii. Long flight. We get on the plane. Big plane. It's like a 9-hour flight. So it's a jumbo jet. You all got like 3 sections of classes in this flight. And so anyway, they seat me and my dad, and we're seated down. And then the stewardess, y'all know, they come on, they give all the little exits and all of that. And, you know, those of you that have flown, you know, they give you the whole wherewithal of all the plane and all of that. And so I notice as I sit my seat, I look up front, and I'm like, man, those chairs look different than my chairs. And, because it's a 9-hour flight, and I noticed that their chairs kind of fold out into a bed. And I noticed, I said, okay, that's first class. That's first class right there. I'm going over here, though. But that's first class. That's first class. This is a 9-hour flight. I'm sleepy. But I can't sleep up there. And so I noticed, as soon as they get on the plane, they start serving them. They coming out with them butler trays and all this. Y'all know? And I can't listen to the stewardess because I'm watching them send trays to folks. And I'm like, and then all of a sudden they start telling us to look at the menu, and it's crackers and cheese and turkey sandwiches. And I said, the blood of Jesus, man, these cats is eating steak up there. What in the world is going on? So I notice as they have us seated, they then come and tell us, they tell us where all the restrooms are. And they said, okay, you all, okay, you all's restrooms are right back here. You all don't come up here. And I'm like, oh. They telling us where we sit that we can't come up where first class is. I about got mad. I said, I just want to go up there and just go to the restroom anyway and make them make me leave. I'm kidding, y'all. I'm kidding. But what I'm saying is that I was looking up there, but then I recognized and I realized, Bill, I hadn't paid for it. Oh, man. oftentimes in your life, you'll get what you... So if you wanted that treatment, then... Because y'all know I'm a trip a little bit. And I messed around and just... I said, man, let me just see how much it would be to sit up there. And then I found out it was $800 more. I said, I'm cool right here. I'm cool. Crackers and cheese, please. Crackers and cheese. Crackers and cheese. Lean on somebody saying the crackers and cheese is good. Now the crackers and cheese. $800. They said $800 up there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's $800. $800. $800. Oh, man. Crackers and cheese, please. Just want to be a servant. One of your greatest calls and claims as a lover of Jesus is to be a servant. To be a servant of the Most High God. John 13. Can I keep going, church? Y'all okay? Can I? John 13, verse 1. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil, so good, the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority. Say authority. Over everything, and that he had come from God and returned to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped the towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. I got to remind you again of verse 2. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus already knew. That here it is, Simon is among the men whose feet he's about to wash. Imagine the power and the authority of Jesus, because the Lord had given Jesus authority over everything. If Jesus got authority over everything, and you got Jesus, maybe three or four of you got this. If Jesus had authority over everything, and you now have Jesus, then you now have the same authority that Jesus. It's why Jesus wasn't concerned about washing a man's feet who would betray him. Some of the folk that you know are going to do you wrong, you're going to have to wash their feet anyway. You're going to have to be nice and kind anyway. Yeah. A true mark of a man or woman of God is to face those who are cutting you up. They light you up on social media. Y'all have read some of the texts or some of the stuff that has been written about you, those of you who have been lambasted socially. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There'll be something said about you, and it won't mention your name. Y'all know she know who she is. Y'all know who I'm talking. Come on now. But your strength will be for you to face them and wash their feet anyhow. Jesus taught us an example. I don't care how they talk about you. I don't care how they use you. I don't care if you know they got plans to betray you. Judas was at a place where the betrayal had not yet happened. I got to come down here. The betrayal had not yet happened, but Jesus washed Judas's feet to expedite the betrayal. Jesus washed Judas's feet to get the betrayal going. See, if you get into this old argument of thing, you start getting into these arguments that you can't win, because you know you can't win those arguments, right? You start getting into these spats, into these feuds. You don't understand that this process of betrayal that you're going through is a part of the road to your destiny. You're trying to stop something that God has used as a catapult to... You need to tell the person who is betraying you right now, please get on with it. Stop hiding behind the words. I know you don't like me. It's all good. I love you anyhow. But see, please stop dilly-dallying. Just get on with what you're going to do. I got things to do, people to see, blessings and favor to come in my life. I'm not trying to mess around with you. I'm not going back and forth with you on Twitter. I know you talked about my mama. I know you talked about my kids. It's all good. I still love you in the Lord. No, we're not going to lunch next week. But I love you anyhow, because I don't want to slow down the blessing on my life. So when it gets hot in the kitchen, that means that God is about to do something. Oh, my Lord, I'm excited right now. Is anybody going through betrayal right now? God is trying to do something in your life. God is trying to accelerate some. Don't stop it. Allow the betrayal to happen. It's necessary. If you're not betrayed, you don't have an identity. The only way you can be more like Christ is to go through what he went through. I'm almost telling you that you need to get into the betrayal line. It's almost like any friends that you have, any fellowship that you have with people, your first conversation could almost be, which one of y'all gonna betray me? Because you're going to get, okay, let me talk to about 16 of you all who have been betrayed by somebody that you never, ever imagined you would be betrayed by. If you hear, stand on your feet and give God glory and thank him for the betrayal. Thank God for the betrayal that you received. And for those of you that didn't stand up, I got a news flash for you. It's on the way. It's on the way. Push somebody and say it's on the way. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to get you to destiny. I'm not trying to mess you up. I'm trying to get you to a place in God. I'm trying to get you to the place where you stop worrying about people, where you stop letting people mess you up. You always depend on people. What Joe got to say? What Tammy? I don't care about them. What does God have to say about my life? What does God say? If God is for me, who can be? I ain't worried about y'all. I'm sick of y'all in the Lord. In the Lord. I'm sick of y'all in the Lord. I'm sick of y'all. Some people you got to love from afar. I'm sick of y'all. Sad thing about what I'm talking about is most of the stuff that I'm talking about happens within the Christian world. Yeah, within the church. Not this church. Not that juvenile. But it happens within the Christian world. Has betrayal happened within the body of Christ here? Of course it has. It's happened within every church in the world. All it does is make us more like Christ. And if you want to be more like Christ, you got to get into that betrayal line. How many of you all know that line is rough to stand in? Ooh, that line is no joke. That line will mess you up. Let me continue. Judas, because Judas was dealing with something. I'm going to kick myself if I don't give this to you. But here's what happens here. Where was I? Okay. He got up from the table. He took off his robe. Tithemi. Write that down. I got to give you some notes. Tithemi. T-I-T-H-E-M-I. There it is. To put down, to lay down, to carry no longer. So there's more that Jesus is doing than just taking off the robe. Mm-hmm. He's laying his life down. So when he takes off the robe, it's symbolic of him laying his life down. Whew. Okay. Here we go. He wraps a towel around his waist and poured water into it, then began to wash the disciples' feet and began to dry them with the towel he had around him. write this down. Judas was dealing with provocation. Write that down. Provocation. Provocation. This is important. He was dealing with the initial idea of betrayal. Yeah. The initial idea. Yeah. The fact of the matter is that some of you all are having some ideas right now about betraying somebody. Yeah. You had a place of provocation. What this means is that it's when the temptation is at its weakest point. Everybody has dealt with betrayal. If you've grown, you've dealt with betrayal. Which means that some of you all right now are at a moment of provocation. What does that mean? That means that you are at a moment of being attacked. Betray them. Do this. Say this. This is what Judas was dealing with at this early point in time. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will. No, Peter protested, you will never, ever wash my feet. Peter was saying this because this was only something that slaves did. Yeah. In other words, Peter was saying, you bigger than this. You Jesus. Jesus don't wash folk feet. Jesus replied, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. What simply means meros. I got to read these notes. Meros. M-E-R-O-S. Meros. Simply means an inheritance. Jesus was saying, unless I wash you, you won't be able to be inherited by me. Yeah. So my washing of your feet is a part of the inheritance and or the destiny that I have on your life. Then Simon Peter exclaimed, then wash my hands and head as well. That sounds like something I would have said. Just wash my whole body then, Lord. But he says, and not just my feet. Jesus replied, a person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. This is so good. Because I'm reminded of Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by, and he delights in his way. Now this is going to make you shout here. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. See, what they don't know is though you fail, because folk love to keep you down when you fall. Folk oftentimes will get joy off of you falling. But they hadn't read Psalm 37 and 23 where the psalmist said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Which means Jesus told Peter, he said, I got to wash your feet because when I wash your feet, it's going to order your steps. I don't need to wash your whole body for you to be clean. I need to wash your feet. If I wash your feet, it'll keep your feet from going places your feet shouldn't be going. So he said, order my steps, Lord. So Jesus washes Peter's feet and he orders his steps. I don't know about you, but I want God to order my steps, that everywhere I walk is blessed and favored of the Lord. I'm at an age at 46. I don't want to take no more missteps. I don't want to miss stuff anymore. Can I preach to about six of you all who have taken a few bad steps? Can I talk to about 10 of y'all who have ended up in a cave and you're like, can I talk to somebody who has been in a place and said, how in the world did I get to this place? I got good news for you though. Psalm 37 and 23 says, order my steps, Lord. Even though I'm in a cave, thou will guide me out of the cave, and you shall not utterly cast me down. You will not leave me in the grave. You will God will bring you from a place of emptiness. Leave you there for a season of solitude. Oftentimes, will put you in a place where everybody around you will leave you. And then God will reorder your steps. Hear me. Reorder your steps. And the new steps that you walk, you will realize that you didn't need everything that you needed around you, nor did you need everyone around you that you thought you needed. See, he can't tell you what you should be doing. She can't tell you what you should be doing. The only man that can order your steps, his name is Jehovah Jireh. His name is Jehovah Rapha. His name is Jehovah Nisi. I need to hear. Lean on somebody and say, I need to hear from God. You need to hear from God on your steps. Jesus plainly says, and you disciples are clean, but not all of you. Jesus knew who would betray him. That's what he meant when he said, not all of you are clean. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again, sat down and asked, do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. What? I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. See, Jesus was more interested in who he was than what he did. That's why when I began to message, Jesus wasn't worried about popularity. He wasn't worried about, I do this and I do this and I can do all these miracles, this, that, and the other. It was simply being drawn to who he is. That's why even when it comes to witnessing and evangelism, you got to make sure that people don't get solely caught up in what Jesus can do for them existentially. Meaning he can get your money right, he can heal your body. Now, all those things are great, but we love him because I know I'm sounding old school right now, I know it. We love him because he first loved us. Okay, let me talk to about 18 old school saints. If he never did another thing for me, he's already done enough. Somebody give God some praise on that right there. If he never did another thing, come on and stand to your feet and give God's praise. Come on, put those hands together all over the building. I'm finished. My towel. Take a picture of this. Get your phones. I'll take a picture of this because these are some last notes, and I want to leave here without giving these to you. A servant leader's identity and trust are not in his call, but in his Christ. A servant leader's identity and trust, they're not in his call, but they're in his Christ. Yeah. My identity is not in the fact that I'm a pastor. I'm a businessman. That's no. My identity is in Christ. I'm stronger because of who I serve. Amen, somebody? It's not about what you do. What you do is irrelevant. If you stop doing what you do today, you're still a lover of Jesus. Amen, everybody? Let me give somebody some hope right now. They can't fire the Jesus in you. Okay, they can't demote the Jesus in you. Some of y'all need to understand, I don't care what they do on the job, when I got favor all over my life, there's nothing that you can do for me that can stop the promises of God for my life. If the company shut down, that means God's got an open door somewhere else. He said he'll never leave me, nor will he ever forsake me. Wealth of the righteous is laid up for the just. God always has a way out. Qualities of a servant leader. Come on up, honey. Right. Take a picture of this quickly if you can. Christ-centered in all aspects of life, committed to serve the needs of others before their own, courageous to lead with love, power, and grace, consistently developing others into servant leaders, continually inviting feedback from those they desire to serve, and number 6, constant in word and in deed. Amen, everybody. You all get something good today? Put yourselves in a position right now. Just lift your hands all over the building right now. I just want to speak to the heart of servant leaders all over the building. If you've got I'm talking about a pushing desire just to serve. You're not worried about payment. You're not worried about nothing like that. You just want to serve. You say, Lord, I want to be a better servant. I've allowed my heart to get a little tainted. Just be honest. I've allowed my heart to get a little tainted when it comes to service. I just want to serve God. I want to serve to the best capacity of living and of life. I've allowed people to mess me up a little bit, Lord, if I can just be honest with you. I've been betrayed over and over and over. I've gotten tired. I've gotten a bit worn down. But Lord God, I'm asking for your restoration right now in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord God, that you would just touch my mind, my heart, my spirit, my soul, Lord God. Give me the vision and the foresight, the identity and the humility, Lord God, to walk the ways of you, Lord God. I want to be more like you. Listen, if you're out there today, and I know many of you are, you pastorally want to serve in a greater measure, come to this altar right now. This is about servanthood. Come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. You say, I want to serve. I want to serve at a much greater level than what I've been serving. Yeah. I want to touch from God. I want to serve at a greater capacity. Come on, give me something, give me something. Come on, let me. Yeah, come on, come on. Make room, make room, make room, make room, make room, make room down here at this altar time. Yeah. You said, I want to serve. I just want to serve. You just coming down here to serve. That's it. You said, Lord, I just want to be able to serve in a greater measure. Let me serve. Yeah. Truth be told, I've got messed up a little bit. It's all right. It's all right. I just want to be restored. I want to go through a time and a season of restoration right now, and I've come to this altar. Listen, as the Lord touches your heart, come quickly. Come quickly. Don't be backward. Care what you do. It's not about what you do. This is about who you are as a man or woman of God. It's about servanthood. It's about servanthood. Flat out servanthood. Now I'm going to be honest with you. 80% of the church should be at the altar. I'm not doing anything like that to put any shame and to get on you. No, no, no. Would never do that. But every man or woman who is serving God, your first capacity outside of loving Jesus is, how can I serve? How can I serve? How can I help? What needs to be done? Be first in line. Honey.
Hallelujah. The Bible says only what we do for Christ.
Lift your hands and receive. Lift your hands and receive. Those of you that
will last.
Lift your hands and receive.
And that our serving and our laboring is never in vain. The one thing that we get, even if we don't get a pat on the back or thank you or I see you or
yeah,
you're doing a great job, we get him. The Bible says that he is our exceedingly great reward. We get him. So our labor is never in vain when we get him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we ask that you will restore us. You would open up our eyes and our heart and our mind to knowing that our servanthood and service to you is never in vain. That what we do for you, only what we do for you is going to last. It's going to stand.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would give us a revelation on what it is to serve and how you serve and how you came and you served us and you left the example of us for us to serve. Father, help us to serve with a cheerful heart. Help us to serve with love. Help us to serve with peace and joy, knowing that it is you that we live. It is you that we breathe, that we have our being. Father, we serve you today. With our whole heart and with all our mind and with all our soul and with all of us, we serve you, God. We want to serve you like we've never served you before. For you are our great reward. You will reward us.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, where we've been hurt, where we've been disappointed, maybe we're tired, maybe we're weary. You said not to get weary in well doing.
Yes, yes.
Don't be weary in well doing.
Yes.
You're going to reap the benefits if you faint not. He promised to keep pushing, to keep working, to keep putting your hands to something to do, to be preoccupied, to keep yourself occupied until he comes.
Yes, God. Keep serving.
Father,
keep serving.
Help us to see through your eyes. Help us to see through your eyes what it is to serve.
Yes, Lord. Keep serving. Keep serving. Yes, Lord.
Yes. That's it. To surrender. Hallelujah. Father, get our hearts right. The more we love you, the more that we will serve you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Keep serving.
We will serve you. We will serve your people.
Jesus.
Help us to surrender.
Yes, God.
Help us to surrender all.
Serve, Lord.
Yes.
Great is your reward in heaven.
Yes, Lord, help us to surrender.
Great is your reward.
Hallelujah.
Man, great is your reward. Great
Hallelujah.
Is your reward.
Jesus, thank you.
If you're at this altar and there's some angers and there's some anxieties, I can feel that even as I'm praying, and you've just gotten, it's like your heart's gotten a bit off. If you can just be honest with yourself, there's some resentment that has set in, just about you've been battling with those bouts of anger because of a continuous of serving and not hearing back, a thankfulness. It's not been coming your way. What each of us need to know is that there are many areas of your life that you will serve in and you won't be thanked on this side of heaven. But the Bible says that great is your reward in heaven. Your heart's gotten off and you know who you are. I just want you to ask for the healing balm of Jesus right now. Just say, Father, just forgive me. My heart and even my intent and my motive, it's gotten a bit off. And I would ask that you would just heal me. Just heal me, Lord. Heal this bitterness that's trying to build up in me, this resentment, this pride. Call it what it is, this pride that's trying to build up in my heart. Just help me, Lord, in these areas. Father, help me in my blind spots. Yeah. Help me in those areas of my life that I really can't see, but you do. For thou, you know everything about me. You know my coming and you know my going. But Father God, illuminate me, expose my heart before you right now, Lord, and deal with the innermost being and parts of me, Lord God, and do it in only a way that you can, because I'm going to tell you, as God the Father, he will deal with you confidentially and lovingly. God won't put your business on blast. He will deal with you accordingly, properly, confidentially, as you go, as the Bible tells us to go boldly and to come boldly to the throne of grace. Father God, we ask for your healing virtue right now, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have come in this place like a mighty, mighty rushing wind. If there is a heart before us today that is off in their relationship with Jesus Christ, I would speak to you right now that right now would be your time to get your heart right. If you would say that, Lord God, this is a time that I've just been out of relationship with you. I've not been properly aligned with you, Lord God. I'm asking you that you would realign me according to Romans 10 and 9, where I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. The greatest miracle each of us have is salvation. Because somebody say amen to that. The greatest miracle that has been given to us beyond eyes being opened, limbs coming undo, bodies being healed, is salvation from on high. Amen, everybody. Honey, you got anything? Just receive.
Hallelujah. I just want to you to just hope. We all get tired sometimes. And God understands that we get tired.
Yeah.
And when you get tired, it's okay for you to say, I need a break.
It's good.
Sometimes I think when we get tired, we think that means you quit. That doesn't mean you quit.
Right.
That means you just rest.
That's good.
And then you get back at it again.
That's good.
Because the longer you rest.
That's good. The word, that's
it's
good,
hard
baby.
For you to get back.
Yep. The word that just came to me was recharge.
Yeah. That's good.
That's the
recharge.
Word. Just, some of you are in a
it
place.
Doesn't mean
you're just
quit.
Recharging. Yeah. You just reach. It's just like batteries, right? Those batteries that are recharged, you don't throw them away, right? You just recharge them, and sometimes you get into a season where you have to recharge. The Bible speaks very clearly that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Sometimes when you don't see stuff realized within a time period, or you don't see stuff realized within people that are around you, it can make you literally sick. It really can. But you ask for the protection of the Lord during those seasons. I don't know the many somebodies that I'm talking to, but God will grow you and mature you through those areas. Amen? Amen. Put your hands together. I'm going to speak the blessing over you right now. Praise the Lord for this series that finished up today. I'm going to go into a new series next Sunday, on the first Sunday of March. I believe March 4th is next Sunday. And of course, friends and family is 2 weeks after that. But I'm going to get into a series on healthy relationships. Healthy relationships. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about singleness. We're going to talk about the social world that we live in. Matter of fact, next week's title is Socially Separated. Socially Separated. And what the attempt of the enemy is to separate us from much of what has really inculcated our world today. But I'm looking forward to that next week. If you can lift your hands all over the building, keep your eyes open. Remember, we're not praying for you. We're actually speaking the blessing. How many of you are kept with that blessing every week? Y'all kept with that blessing? Amen. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you going, and we bless you coming. We bless all that you put your hands to that is God intended for your very purpose. We bless this season of your life. Can somebody say it's my best season? We bless your hopes and your dreams. We bless you. And may you be motivated to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in whatever capacity God has given you. We bless your families. We bless your finances. We bless your health, your jobs. Amen. We bless that in the name of Jesus. And we tell you each and every week, listen, God has given us only one life to live. All we can do is live the very best that we can. Be excited, energetic, full of life, so much so that you do what? Love on somebody before you leave here. Listen, we love you. We bless you. We will see you next week. God bless you.